I want to turn tonight, please, to the Psalm number 26. We're turning to the book of the Psalms and to the Psalm number 26. Turning tonight to Psalm number 26. And just with God's word open before us, let us bow together, please, just in a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we return thee thanks for thy presence with us already in this gathering tonight. We thank thee for the report that our brother David has brought, and we thank thee for the visit there this year. And we just pray for this man Sorrel, we pray especially for his wife, that thou wilt save her, that thou would unite that family in Christ and strengthen this man in his faith. We thank thee for the word that went forth amongst the children, and we pray, O God, that many of these children will come to know the Lord as their Savior. We pray also, Lord, for the ongoing translation work, that thou would bless this ministry. Enable, Lord, thy word to be translated into the language, Lord, of this people. We thank thee for the progress this far. And we pray, Lord, that soon all of the New Testament would be there for them, and other parts of the Bible as well, that they might hear and read thy word and thy truth. And bless David and Rachel as they continue on with this ministry. Lead them, guide them, and direct them. And Lord, use them, we pray, and through this ministry, that many people in that part of thy vineyard will come to know the Lord as their Savior. Bless and meet the needs of thy servants. Lord, as we come now to thy precious word, we pray that thou wilt speak to us afresh tonight through thy word, that thou wilt use thy word even in this gathering this evening to the saving of some precious soul. Use it, Lord, to the strengthening, Lord, of thy people in their most holy faith. Use it, O God, to the glorifying of the Savior. To this end, cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the precious blood from all sin. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost. Be mouth, matter, and wisdom unto us. Hide this preacher behind the cross and glorify the Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now, our text for this evening, the opening words that you find in verse 9 of this Psalm number 26. We just want to read those opening words with you from verse 9 of Psalm 26. When the psalmist says, "Gather not my soul with sinners. Gather not my soul with sinners." Now, these words are in reality a prayer. In this life, indeed, we can see from the scriptures that the company of the wicked was something that was distasteful to the psalmist David. Well, in our text here this evening, David is actually praying that his soul would not be gathered with the ungodly in eternity. Yes, by these words, as a saint of God, David really shows to us his horror at the sinner's hell. Now, this prayer here of David regarding his horror at the sinner's hell is a prayer that is worthy of our contemplation. Yes, it would convey to us some very important lessons regarding the need of our own soul's salvation. As we would look then at this prayer, I want you to note with me tonight in particular four reasons why David uttered these most solemn words in our text when he said, "Gather not my soul with sinners." First of all, we can say tonight that David uttered this prayer because he was a man who had a concern for his soul. He says here, "Gather not my soul with sinners." And from those words, you see there that David was a man who was concerned about his soul. Here was a man who believed in the reality of his soul. My David knew that his soul was the most important part of his being. He knew that God had made him different from the animals of this world. He knew that there was a spiritual part to his being, that God had created him with a never-dying, immortal soul. The Bible indeed declares at the beginning of time regarding the creation of man and says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And my David here was concerned about a soul, for he knew that without God's salvation, As a lost sinner, his soul was in desperate peril. God, speaking about the souls of man over in the book of Ezekiel, says this. He says, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And that death there, it speaks of eternal punishment in hell for the soul of the guilty sinner. We can also say here that David was concerned about his soul, for he knew in his heart of hearts that it was only through the salvation of a soul that his life could be truly fulfilled and living for God's honor and God's glory. Over in the Psalm 115, the psalmist says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory." And man is to live here on earth for the glory of God. This is the chief purpose for which man was created. I'm sure most of us here tonight are familiar with the first question and answer of the Shorter Catechism. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Well, man can only reach his full potential and live for God's glory here on earth through the salvation of his soul. Hence, David here was concerned about his soul, for he knew it was only through the salvation of his soul that he could live here in this earth to God's honor and to God's glory. Yes, as you look at this text tonight, you see here, was a man who was concerned about his soul. Dear friend, let me ask, how is it with you tonight as you sit in this meeting? Are you concerned tonight about your soul? Do you realize that God has created you with an immortal, never dying soul? Oh, do you realize that without your soul's salvation, you are condemned already to a lost eternity in hell? Oh, do you realize tonight that without your soul's salvation, you cannot fulfill the true reason for your creation upon the scene of time, which is but to live to the glory of God? Oh, have you realized that without God's salvation, no matter how hard you may try, you cannot live to the glory of God? Tell me tonight, is there a concern in your heart about your soul? My Christ in the Gospel, He warns you about the importance of your soul. He warns you in His Word about the value of a soul. Think of those great words in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and in the verse number 36, when He says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And there the Lord Jesus Christ warns you about the value of your soul. He warns you about the importance of your soul. Tell me tonight, are you concerned about your soul? You may be concerned about many things tonight in this world that concern you, maybe your home, your family. Things, yes, that may be legitimate in their own place. But let me ask tonight, is there a concern in your soul before God? Think of the words of the little children's chorus, "I have a soul to be saved. Let this truth be engraved on my heart and my mind while I'm young. Oh, how awful the cost if my soul should be lost." Yes, David uttered this prayer because he was a man who was concerned about his soul. But secondly, tonight we can also say that David uttered this prayer because he knew that the eternal destiny of his soul was settled at death. He knew the eternal destiny of his soul was settled at death. You see, the Word of God shows us that after this life, there is the great eternity. There is the great eternity of God. I heard recently there about a humanist minister who was speaking at a funeral. And in his address to the people who were gathered that day at that funeral service, he told them that there was nothing more after this life. That all they need to be concerned about was this life, and there was nothing more after this scene of time. Friends, that is a lie from the devil himself. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You listen tonight to what the Word of God says, and that's really all that counts. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment, there is an after this. There is more after this scene of time. My after this life, there is eternity. And if you read your Bible, if you read the Word of God, you will see that eternity consists of either heaven or hell. That's what is found in eternity. It is either heaven or hell. What is heaven? Where is heaven? Heaven is that eternal blessed home for all who are saved. By God's grace, all who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. David spake much about heaven in his Psalms that he wrote. In Psalm 27, he could say this: "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And David there was speaking about heaven. David believed in heaven. My what is hell? Where is hell? My hell is that place of eternal judgment and punishment for all who are unsaved, for all who are unconverted. And you read the Psalms of David, and you will see also that David was a man who believed in hell, who spake of hell, who warned about hell. In Psalm number 9, he says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." People, we need to understand tonight that where a person spends eternity depends on the condition of their soul at death. My, if they die saved in Christ, redeemed with Christ's precious blood, their soul goes immediately into God's heaven. Paul the Apostle spake of that as he wrote his letter to the Corinthians. For he spake to them saying, "Willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord." And there he was speaking of the soul of the believer at death, departing, going into the Lord's presence immediately in heaven's glory. But my, on the other hand, when a person dies unsaved, whoever that person is, their soul goes immediately into hell. Their soul goes immediately out into a lost eternity. You remember the rich man that the Lord Jesus Christ spake of in Luke's Gospel chapter 16? And he said this: "The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." The soul of that rich man went immediately to hell, to a lost eternity, to that place of eternal punishment and judgment for sin. Oh, in eternity there's either heaven or hell. Therefore David utters this prayer here to God in our text tonight in Psalm 26 verse 9 when he says, "Gather not my soul with sinners," because he knew that if he was not saved, then once death would come for him. All hope of salvation would be gone. All hope of heaven would be gone. You see, the Bible says, "Where the tree falleth, there shall it lie." As a man dies, so he shall be for all of the countless years and ages of eternity. Therefore, David had good reason here to be concerned about a soul and pray to God and say, "Gather not my soul with sinners." Or, dear friend, whatever you think here of these words of David when he said, "Gather not my soul with sinners." My, when you think here of the solemnity of these words, please realize tonight in this meeting that if you are not saved at death, if you're not saved when you come to leave the scene of time, oh, let this truth be etched in your soul tonight, then all hope of heaven for you will be gone. All hope of salvation for your soul will be gone forever, never to return. For as you die, so shall you spend all eternity. Yes, David utters this prayer because he knew that the eternal destiny of a soul was settled to death. But there's something else I'd like you to note again regarding his reason for uttering this prayer. David also uttered this prayer because he is filled with horror at the destiny of the wicked. He is filled with horror at the destiny of the wicked. He says here in our text, "Gather not my soul with sinners." The sinners here that he mentions are the ungodly. They are the Christ rejecter. They are those who live in their sin, who live for sin, who die in their sin. They are those who live unsaved and those who die unsaved. And my, when they die unsaved, their soul goes immediately to that awful place called hell. David uttered these words, "Gather not my soul with sinners," because he was filled with horror at the awful end of the unsaved. Men and women and young people tonight, that's the truth we need to glean tonight. We need to understand. We need to ponder. Hell is a most awful place. It's an awful place. People today laugh at hell. Many people today don't like the preacher mentioning the word hell. He can talk about everything else under the sun, but he dare not mention hell. He dare not preach upon hell. For many today, the word hell is nothing more than a swear word, a curse word that goes off upon their lips without a thought, without a care, without a concern. Oh, friends, tonight, please understand and please realize that hell is a place where you do not want to be in eternity. I'm sure there's places in this earth you could say, "Well, I don't want to be there." Well, I want you to think about eternity tonight, and my hell is a place where you do not want to be in eternity. Such is the horror of hell. Such is the awfulness of hell. My, it is a place where David did not want to be in eternity. Hence he prays here to God in our text, "Gather not my soul with sinners." And David had good reason for not being in hell and not wanting to be in hell. He had a good reason for being filled with an abhorrence of the horror of hell. For what is hell like? Well, the Bible tells you and I something about hell. My, hell is the place where the devil and his fallen angels will be forever and ever. It is a place of eternal torments. Turning your Bible over to Revelation chapter 20. And the verse number 10, look at what the Word of God says here. It says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." Notice how hell is described, a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, that is the end time Antichrist, "and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." The devil will be there, all his fallen angels. God's Word also describes hell, we see there, as the lake of fire. Think of a lake of fire. My, we've all seen lakes of water, but tell me, have you ever seen a lake of fire? Such is the awfulness of hell. My, the Bible calls it the place of outer darkness. And sometimes we can go to places where there is darkness. I remember a few years ago on holiday going down at a coal mine that is no longer in operation, and the darkness, you could almost feel it. But it is nothing to the outer darkness that you will find in hell. It is a place of awful pain. Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew warns of hell and those who shall be there. He says they shall be cast, he says, into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My, it is a place of eternal separation from God. You remember the words of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew 25 regarding all those who will go to hell. Jesus says this, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Separation, cut off from God forever, into the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And my, it is also a place of eternal separation from loved ones who are believers. Listen to the words of Christ in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 28. He says, "There shall be weeping and a gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. By those in hell will be eternally separated, not only from God, but for all other believers who have died in Christ and who have went to heaven. No longer again having any company with the redeemed of God and the people of God." Yes, heaven is a place, let me make this clear, from which there is no escape. There's no such thing as going to hell for a few years, as is taught in the false teaching of purgatory regarding the Church of Rome. There's no escape from hell. It is eternal. It is a place where the conscience and the memory of the sinner will suffer eternal pain and eternal torment. Oh, how awful is this place called hell. How awful is hell? You read Luke chapter 16 tonight, and you go home. You read there about the rich man in hell, and what was the burden of his heart down in hell was that his brethren and his family be warned not to go to that place called hell. Now, that was the burden of his soul in hell, that his brethren be warned, that someone would go and tell them not to come to this awful place. Hell is a most awful place. Now, the words of any preacher are really inadequate to paint and to describe the awfulness of hell. By speaking about the awfulness of hell, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of a bygone era in London, he said this about hell. Listen to what he said. He said, "There will be no restraints in hell, but a place where every man shall follow out his own heart's most horrible inclinations." No restraints upon the ungodly in hell. We live in a wicked world. We live in an evil world, but despite that, there is still restraint upon the ungodly in this world. There's the laws of our land. They act as a restraint upon the ungodly. There is the witness of God's people and God's church, and that in itself acts as a restraint upon the ungodly in society. God's people are the salt of the earth. There is the restraining hand of God's providence upon evil and upon wicked men. But the truth of the matter is this, men and women tonight in hell, all restraint will be removed from the ungodly, from the evildoer, and from those who are in hell. Think of that, all restraint removed. David then surely was most wise when he prayed this prayer in our text tonight, when he said to God, "Gather not my soul with sinners." He was afraid of ever going to hell. He feared going to hell. Friend, hell is a most awful place. I tell you tonight, if you were wise, you would fear ever going to hell. You would fear ever going to a lost eternity. You would fear ever going to that place of outer darkness. You would fear ever going to the lake of fire. Listen to what Christ says in the Gospel of Mark. He says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." There Jesus warns us about the awfulness of hell. He warns you and I to fear hell, to fear judgment. Does not the Bible say, "Flee from the wrath to come"? Tell me tonight, are you afraid of going down into the pit? Going down into a lost sinner's hell? This is how it was with David. Hence he said, "Gather not my soul with sinners." But one final thought I want to share with you from this text. David utters this prayer because he was trusting in the Lord for the salvation of his soul. He says here to God, "Gather not my soul with sinners." This is a testimony of his faith in the Lord for the salvation of his soul. Turn back to verse 1 of the Psalm. Notice how he speaks of his faith, his trust in the Lord. He says at the end of verse 1 of the Psalm, "I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." He knew because of his faith in the Lord, he would not slide down into the pit, into a lost sinner's hell. He was trusting in the Lord for the salvation of his soul. Dear friend, tonight let me say it is only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that you can be saved from your sin and that your soul can be saved from a lost eternity in hell and that you can be safely gathered into God's heaven. The Bible says, "For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." In other words, bring our souls to God, into God's heaven, into God's glory. Friend, the good news of the gospel tonight is this. If you confess and own and acknowledge your need as a lost sinner before God, if you trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary and upon his shed blood for the pardoning of all your sins and the salvation of your soul, praise God, the Lord indeed will pardon your sins. He will save your soul. And he will take you one day into God's heaven, into God's glory, into his eternal kingdom, to be with himself and to be with his people forevermore. We read about Abraham in the Old Testament book of Genesis. And it says this about Abraham when he came today. And I want you to listen to what it says. It says he gave up the ghost. And then it says this. And he was gathered to his people. He was gathered to his people. What is that telling us? It is telling us that his soul was gathered into heaven. Into God's glory. To be with God's people forevermore. He was gathered with his people, with God's people in heaven and in glory. Why, you might ask, why did, whenever Abraham died, why did his soul be gathered up into heaven, be gathered up into glory? Why? I'll tell you why. Because his faith was in Christ alone for his salvation. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says about Abraham in the Gospel of John. He says of Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. He looked forward with the eye of faith to Christ coming and dying on the cross for his sin. And as a repentant sinner, he put his faith and trust in Christ. And when he came to die and to depart the scene of time, he gave up the ghost. The soul was gathered into heaven to be with God and with God's people forevermore. His faith was in Christ. The testament of that fact is borne out in Hebrews chapter 11. He was a man of faith. Turn with me over to John's Gospel chapter number 11. And look with me here at these tremendous words of Christ in verse 25 and verse number 26 of the chapter. It says here, Jesus said unto her, that's Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What is Christ telling us there? He's telling us by faith in himself, in his finished work upon the cross. That soul that leans upon him, that trusts him, is eternally secure. They shall never taste the punishment of eternal judgment in hell. Rather, when the saint, the child of God, comes to depart the scene of time, the soul is not gathered with the ungodly or with the Christ rejecter. Rather, the soul is gathered with the saints of all the redeemed throughout all the ages of time and God's eternal glory. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in this meeting tonight unsaved, think of these words. Gather not my soul with sinners. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, I pray that you'll make those words the prayer of your heart tonight. That you'll say, Lord, save my soul. I don't want to be gathered with the ungodly in hell. I want to be gathered with the saints of God in heaven. Praise God tonight, whoever you are. If you come in faith and in repentance to the Lord and trust the Lord as your Savior, he will not cast you out. He will save your soul. He will fit you for heaven. Oh, heed the warning voice of God tonight. Gather not my soul with sinners. We're going to